And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of The Awakening here on American Family Radio. Awake the Awakening, the podcast. And I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you again today. Wow, do we have a lot to talk about today. Folks, I am fired up. But before I get to it, just stand by, please. Be patient with me. Stand by. This is the day you're hearing this, that is day, because I taped this the day before, but is day 69 of Project 76. Day 69 of Project 76. That means, folks, that we have got actually 7 more days. On Wednesday, September 17th, we will celebrate Constitution Day with an all-day standathon in which we're going to be asking for, as we have throughout this period, your prayers, your volunteering, and your giving, your contributions. I am dedicated to helping save this country, and I really believe STAND is making a tremendous contribution to that. We're not the biggest conservative organization in America, but we do have a unique niche. And I really believe that we're making a tremendous contribution to that. But folks, this ain't near over, okay? We've got a long way to go. So, and we just need God's divine intervention. As we've seen, we need his continued divine intervention, but we're going to win this. We're going to win this for the Lord. We're going to win it for our country. We're going to win it for us, our posterity. So once again, I would just ask you, first of all, please pray for us. We're an organization that's 16 years old. We were founded on July 4th of 2009, the year of President Obama's first year in office. For reasons that I think I've explained, I thought that he would do great damage to this country and there needed to be a significant counterweight to what he would do, and I was not wrong. I think he did do significant damage to the country. I think we're still living under the damage that President Barack Obama did in some ways. It's been enhanced, I think, by the left, by the Democrat Party, by President Joe Biden, and others. But President Obama took some gigantic steps in the wrong direction for this country, and we haven't fully gotten over it yet. And we've been fighting the good fight ever since. Folks, we want to take this to another level because we really believe that President Trump is a unique president, and I don't think the next president is going to be like President Trump. Could there ever be another? I mean, really, honestly, seriously, could there ever be another? Look, folks, and forgive me, I don't say this in any egotistical way, even though it may come across that way, so I'm not going to apologize for saying it. I really believe that the only person who's ever run for president who comes anywhere close to being like a President Trump is me. And I'm not sure I make the mark, but because obviously I'm much, much more explicitly committed to faith in Jesus Christ and to espousing that viewpoint and to calling America to a biblical worldview. But I tell you what, President Trump is not doing bad. Just this past week, he did a program for religious liberty, and Ben Carson and so many others are involved in this process, and he is going after anti-Christian bigotry. I couldn't have done it better myself. But there are ways in which I don't know that it would make me a better president, but I would certainly be stronger because I'm obviously a much more explicit, outspoken, aggressive believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe America's a Christian culture and we've got to preserve that. But again, folks, I think if you've listened to this program, you've heard me admit I don't think I could be a better president than President Trump. Maybe better in some ways, but overall, I think President Trump is really a unique figure. I really do, folks. And so that puts my ego in check. I do not believe I could have been as good a president as President Trump is. I really do not. He's got the experience. He's got the background. He's been through so much. Anybody would be hard pressed to match that. And anybody who says on the conservative side that they believe they could do as good a job as President Trump is doing, I think they're delusional. But the thing is, President Trump's not going to be with us forever. And what happens next? You and I are going to still have to be in the trenches because it is obvious that these people are not letting up. And I think in many ways, when President Trump goes off the scene, I think they're going to get worse. Because I think President Trump is so strong and his responses are so strong that I think they're going to feel there'll be nobody who'll come anywhere close to that. So we can just barrel ahead when he's out of office. And so, folks, stand is just, I mean, it is important. It's like as American Family Radio and American Family Association are important. And they are no less important because we have a president who is sympathetic with us. But I think they're going to become far more important because we're going to be here when President Trump is no longer in office. And what happens then? So I'm asking for your support in three ways. I'm asking you to pray for us first and foremost. Pray that God will open up doors of opportunity on every level. And that's just not contributions. That's also talent and people and help. So pray for us. And then secondly, volunteer. We've got two major opportunities for volunteering and others that you may not have heard about or that you may not be aware of because those really can suit whatever gifts and talents and abilities you have. So say if you're a photographer and you want to say, well, Bishop Jackson, when you're appearing somewhere, I want to take pictures for you. Great. If you are a graphic designer, you say, hey, I'd like to do a graphic design for some program you're having. Great. We don't have the resources to pay everybody for everything. And when people want to help us, believe me, we are only too glad for the help. But we're asking you to pray for us. We're asking you to volunteer. The two major opportunities we're offering is to start a STAND chapter, become chairman of the STAND chapter in your area. And the second is to become an ambassador. An ambassador doesn't have to organize anybody. You can be an ambassador on your own. But that means you could be a spokesperson for us in your area. You could go to school board meetings. You could go to city council meetings. You can go to Republican meetings or the Democrat meetings, for that matter, if you're bold enough to do that. Say, hey, I'm here to represent Stan and Bishop E.W. Jackson and tell you what we think you need to hear. I'd recommend that you go with a bulletproof vest on and several security guards if you're going to do that. But you get my point. You know that being an ambassador for STAN, a STAND ambassador, is something you can do on your own. You don't have to try to organize other people. So you may not feel comfortable with that. But either way, volunteer, help us to expand the reach of this organization, the influence of our organization. And lastly, but certainly not least, to contribute. And we've asked for everything from $1 a day for the 76 days we've been doing this, beginning on July 4th to September 76, $76. And some of you have done that. And thank you very, very much to whatever you can give, whatever God lays on your heart to give, more or less, or that amount. Believe me, we'll appreciate it. We're trying to get to 300 Patriot partners. We are right now at 166 Patriot partners. These are monthly donors, monthly givers, and we need a lot more. I want to get to 1,000, and we're believing God to get to 1,000 monthly donors. So anything you can do to help us would be much appreciated. Go to standamerica.us. That's standamerica.us. If you want to give online, if you want to have a gift processed, you can call our office at 757-375-6444. That's 757-375-6444. And if you want to send a check, now the address is online, but you can call to get that information as well. It is Stand Foundation, Inc., 1024 Centerbrook Lane, and that's, by the way, Suite F as in Foxtrot, F-211, Suite F-211 in Suffolk, Virginia, 23434. And if you want to volunteer, by the way, call our field director's office at 757-439-1458, 757-439-1458. And folks, all day on September 17th, all day, we're doing a live stream from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And we're going to be talking about the Constitution, our Judeo-Christian values. We're going to talk about rebuilding the family. We're going to talk about respect for life. We're going to be talking about individual liberty versus this identity politics that the left and the Democrat Party seem so fond of playing. We're talking about the rule of law. We're talking about supporting our law enforcement and military people, our first responders. We're going to talk about educational choice. We're going to talk about honoring our flag. And by the way, I can't leave this out. And we're going to have lead people in an oath, a citizen's oath, to the Constitution of the United States. A citizen's oath to the Constitution of the United States. So let me share that with you right now so you know exactly what it is. You know, only public officials, law enforcement, military, I took that oath as a Marine, military, naturalized citizens and public officials, public or either appointed or elected officials, have to take an oath to the Constitution of the United States. Most citizens do not. And by the way, let me make clear, I am opposed to any requirement that American citizens take an oath to the Constitution because I don't like compelled oaths, period. But this is not compelled. This is a voluntary situation. This is something we're offering you as an opportunity to express your commitment to the Constitution of the United States and an opportunity to again, unify us, to bring us together. This really ought to unify us, don't you think? It ought to. And so let me share this with you, and you'll see what it is you'll be reading if I haven't read it already. It simply says, as a citizen of the United States of America, I gratefully acknowledge that my God-given liberty and rights are secured by the Constitution of the United States. I further acknowledge that the Constitution and Bill of Rights have been eroded by failure to educate our citizens and our constitutional republic, and by certain government officials who disregard their oath in pursuit of power to implement a radical political agenda. Therefore, I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. Furthermore, that I will oppose all ideologies, ideas, and policies which undermine the Constitution, including but not limited to Marxism, socialism, communism, fascism, and Sharia law. I take this oath voluntarily, without any reservation, and under no legal or governmental obligation. So help me God. And then you can sign it yourself. And it's a mountable, frameable copy of this oath that you can mount in your office. I'm going to do that for mine. I will show it to you. We're on video as well, so I'll show it to you at some point. But that's going to be one of the things we're going to do to conclude the day. Okay, the last hour of the program, we're going to assemble our audience and say, are you ready? And we're going to put the Constitution up on the screen, the oath to the Constitution up on the screen, and then we're going to enter into that oath, and I am going to sign my copy in front of everybody because I've got it. I've took it already as a United States Marine, but I've never signed the citizen's oath of the Constitution. I'm going to sign it in front of you on that day. And then I'm going to get it out, take it out, and get it mounted. I was going to do that beforehand, but I'd rather do it with you so we do it together. Okay? And maybe I'll run into you one day and you say, hey, I took the citizen's oath to the Constitution with you when you took it that night. I say, well, praise God. We are citizen, we are constitutional brothers and sisters, as well as being Christian brothers and sisters. So anyway, just wanted to get all of that out with you. So you want to help us, you want to support us, go to standamerica.us, standamerica.us, or you can call us at 757-375-6444 to make a contribution. Or if you want to volunteer, call 757-439-1458. Okay, well, having gotten that out of the way, folks, I have to tell you, I've had to bridle my anger in preparation for this program. I've had to bridle my anger. And let me tell you what has made me angry specifically, and then talk about this general issue and some of the various elements of it. This man on a light train in North Carolina, who sat behind this young Ukrainian immigrant. She's here legally, immigrated from Ukraine, sat behind her and apparently contemplated murdering her, and ultimately took out a penknife. It's all on video. I haven't seen the whole video, and I've heard people say they have. I don't want to see the whole video. I really don't. I don't want to see an innocent human being murdered. I'm just not interested in seeing that. But I know that it happened. But he took out that penknife and stabbed that girl in the throat 3 times. And then apparently calmly walked away, trying to figure out, okay, what do I do next? And wanting to get off the train. They say he's got mental health issues. But I'll tell you what, he certainly wasn't so mentally ill that he didn't know that he needed to try to get away after stabbing that girl to death. Now, the first thing that needs to be said is, you've probably heard me say this, maybe you haven't, depending on how often you hear me or hear the podcast, because I said it in various venues. It is a shame to have to say this, and I feel ashamed to have to say it as an American, and I'm thankful to God that we have a president who is addressing it. But we are living in an era of not only crime, but bold, stark, in-your-face crimes. I mean, when the president cleaned up D.C., before the president cleaned up D.C., they were carjacking people midday in broad daylight out in the downtown area. Just walk up to you, stick a gun in your face, threaten to kill you, throw you out of your car, and drive away, sometimes with your children in the back of the car, in broad daylight. Not in some neighborhood off the beaten path, not in some ghetto area where nobody, I mean, you know, people would wonder, what are you doing there in the middle of the night? No, broad daylight downtown. Broad daylight, the Capitol District. Killing people. Jacking people. That's what was going on before the president stepped in into D.C. All over the country, folks, it's not just the amount of crime, it's the brazenness of it, it's the boldness of it. And what it says is, folks, we're not safe anywhere. We really aren't. I've said, you know, keep your head on a swivel, military term. Actually, I think operators came up with that, but basically, I mean, the Bible says something similar. It says, we are to be circumspect. Walk circumspectly in the world. Circumspect means seeing all angles, looking all the time. Jesus said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Folks, I want to tell you, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Because that woman was sitting there looking at her phone, as most of us do, she did not know that the seconds were counting down when her life would end. And, you know, I have to tell you, folks, I don't believe we walk in fear. I don't believe we walk in paranoia. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and sound mind. I think that's, was that 2 Timothy 1:7, if I'm not mistaken. But of love and power and sound mind, not fear. So we're not walking in paranoia and fear. Oh, I'm afraid to go out. I'm afraid. But Christians, we shouldn't think that way. But that doesn't mean we're not aware of the danger that is around us and that we're prepared to deal with it. That poor girl sitting there reading her phone, not knowing that she was about to be stabbed to death. You know, I have to tell you, I walk into public places now, I'm looking. I am always looking. I might have my phone in front of me. I might be checking out my phone, but I tell you what, I'm looking up. I'm raising my head and looking around because you just never know. Either somebody might want to attack me personally because they know who I am, or somebody just might want to attack anybody, and I just happen to be the convenient target. I mean, it just, so folks, keep your head on a swivel. And watch your six. You know, watch your six means look behind you. Now, with that said, let me go to the crux of this. This guy was arrested for violent crimes 14 times. Did 5 years in prison. I believe for assault. 5 years in prison. But arrested on multiple occasions. They say he got one of those rap sheets that's as long as your arm. So the first question you would ask is, why is he out? Why is he running around unsupervised? If you've got criminal behavior and allegedly mental illness, folks, that is a lethal combination. Why was he allowed to be out in the public that way? Well, I'll tell you why. Because you got a bunch of loony liberals, really leftists. They're not, I mean, these people are not classical liberals. They're really loony leftists, really, who believe that we shouldn't incarcerate people who believe, as Karl Marx did, that the only reason why people steal is because they are forced to by an unjust capitalist system, who believe that black people are discriminated against and black people shouldn't be punished for crime because they're only criminals in this systemically racist society called America that doesn't give them an opportunity to do anything else. Right. And who believe that punishing them is unjust because they've already been punished enough by the legacy of slavery and all that. Now, folks, you could take all of that I just said, ball it up into a nice big ball, wrap it up in toilet paper, and dump it in the toilet, as far as I'm concerned. Because it's a load of horse manure. Now, one of the things I've talked about that I'm asking you all to help us with, we started a new project just getting up off the ground called The Movement to Deracialize America. The Movement to Deracialize America. And in fact, folks, nobody wants to deal with the little ugly question because they probably don't want to hear the ugly answer. Why did he attack her? He didn't attack anybody else on that train. See, I'm convinced that these liberals, leftists, most of them white, but many of them people of different backgrounds as well, who consistently tell us, the problem is white people. 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 that bunch of lying propagandists. They want to throw around the term Nazi. Now that's Nazi-like. Because basically they've decided that quote unquote white people are their scapegoats. So at the top of the list is the white male. Oh my goodness gracious, you know, he's just terrible. Terrible, the white man. And then just beneath him is the Karen, the white woman. But the worst of the worst is if these white people are also Christians. Now we're dealing with nuclear bomb level radioactivity. If they're white and they're Christian, man, they are the worst of the worst. Folks, this is so wicked. It's so evil. It's so un-American. It's so ungodly. It's so anti-Christian that there aren't enough words to describe how wicked it is. Now, you keep pounding that lie away or pounding it into the minds of people, and you'll get idiots like this guy in North Carolina who will believe somehow that by killing the white person sitting in front of him, he is doing the world a favor, because after all, they really are the repository of all evil. And you know, I've said this, of course, tongue in cheek, using the absurd, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, using the absurd to expose the absurd. I've said, so why don't you really say what you mean? If we really want life to be good in our country and in the world, kill all the white people. Because after all, they are the problem, right? I mean, that's what Hitler said about the Jews. Get rid of them, and Germany will have a renaissance unlike anything we've ever known before, because we know that everything that's wrong in Germany is the fault of Jews. Well, we know that everything that's wrong with America and the world, by the way, is the fault of white people, right? People of European ancestry. We know that, don't we? No, we don't know that, because it's a lie out of the pit of hell. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Word of God also says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against white people? No, that you may be able to stand against the devil. Because Satan is our problem, not some ethnic group. But this is the same crazy stuff that the racists of the antebellum South who were deep in slavery did. They tried to caricature black people in such a way as to make others feel that this is really good for them. Slavery is really good for them because they're not good for anything else. Well, you know, I've heard people in effect say it, everything the white man touches, he destroys. Well, what are they good for? You know what the next logical step is? Now, thank God 70% of the people in our country happen to be Americans of European ancestry. I say thank God in the sense that, you know, it is not even practical to think that anybody is going to somehow commit genocide against 70% of the population of this country. But it is enough to think that people believe somehow that that could be the answer to America's problems. You and I both know. Just spin the wheel and pick any group you want. Any group you want. You know, Europeans are only 14% of the population. They're a large percent of the American population, but they're only 14% of the world's population. But pick any group you want. Indians, Chinese, Irish, Italians, Germans, Africans from whatever country, South Americans. You pick whatever group you want. Say, okay, we all agree, right? That they are the repository of all evil, that they are the problem. and we're going to get rid of them, then you get rid of them. And now the world's going to be a utopia. No, it won't. No, it won't. Because the same sin that produced the willingness to kill that group of people and the same sin that caused that group of people to do, if they did anything, akin to what they are accused of, let's assume for the moment they've done some wrong things, or that there's described to the group some wrong things that you can point to anecdotally and say, well, these people, this part of that group did that, because you can't ascribe anything to the whole group because you don't know. But let's just assume for the moment you can ascribe something to the group. You get rid of that group. Guess what? Sin comes roaring back with its ugly head, and this demonic leader comes roaring back to the people you probably least expect. I pointed out to my church yesterday, if God didn't use sinful people, well, first of all, we'd all be disqualified, A, and B, if God didn't use sinful circumstances, he would never get anything done, because sin permeates the world. He said, the man, many of you subscribe to the King James Bible. I'm sure you probably love the King James Bible. I read the New King James, but whatever King James version you had, the man who gave us the King James Bible, which is probably still the most popular Bible on earth, I think, has certainly been one of the most popular Bibles, one of the most popular translations. King James was, as far as I'm concerned, was a reprobate. I mean, King James was assassinating people and getting people burned at the stake because they would not adhere to the Church of England. Our pilgrims, most of the pilgrims who came here on the Mayflower came because they were running away from the persecution by King James. That's the King James who commissioned the translation of the King James Bible, folks. I said before, God can take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick. You and I are still reading a Bible by a man who, by the way, if you're not Catholic, if you're Protestant, the same man who commissioned the translation to the King James Bible, that same man would have had you and me burned at the stake for being Protestants. You know, God looks beyond our faults and sees our needs, and he uses people beyond even sometimes their character and their trustworthiness, because there's a particular job that he wants done. He picks the person to do it, and he uses them even though that person might be about as sinful as they come. Now, every circumstance is a little bit different, but that's a principle. That's what Joseph said to his brothers when he finally confronted his brothers. He said, you know, you meant it for evil. So he was saying what they did was evil. It was wicked. It was wrong, selling him to slavery and then telling poor, the boy's poor father that he got eaten by a lion and he was dead. Broke the man's heart and all that. And Joseph said, you meant it for evil. But, oh, thank God for that clause. God meant it for good. In other words, the same thing you were doing with evil intent, God was using and manipulating that situation to bring about his good intentions. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 says, he works all things according to the counsel of his will. All things. Doesn't say just good things. All things according to the counsel of his will. So we have got to take action to deracialize this nation. When I say, by the way, deracialize the nation, I even hear some conservatives say, well, you know, we don't want to be a colorblind country. You know what I say to that? Yes, we do. Because, folks, colorblindness doesn't mean you don't see a person's complexion. It doesn't mean you don't see that people look different. And by the way, and we all do. I mean, you take the Italian community, Southern Italians and Northern Italians. Southern Italians are darker, swarthier, have darker skin, darker hair, The Northern Italians look more like a lot of other Europeans. They tend to be lighter in complexion. They tend to have lighter hair. And by the way, they tend to look down on the Southern Italians, the Sicilians, the Calabrese. There's differences among people in all kinds of ways. And those are all Italians that I'm talking about right now. But there are differences in all kinds of ways among people. We see those differences, of course. But what it means is we don't make judgments about each other based upon those differences. We allow the person's character, decency, honor, nobility, compassion, competence to be demonstrated by that person's behavior, rather than drawing conclusions, oh, well, they belong to that group. Oh, yeah, well, you know, that they, and then reaching a whole bunch of conclusions, which is probably 99% of them are wrong. We've got to see each other as individuals, as human beings, and as citizens of the United States of America. And we as Christians should be able to lead in that effort. Because Jesus has demanded us unity and prophesied what that unity is like. He said in John chapter 17, that high intercessory prayer, he said, Father, I pray that they would be one, even as you and I are one. Jesus and the Father are one. And Jesus said, Father, I pray that they may be one and with us, as you and I are one. One nation, under one God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. That's what we're striving for. That's the goal. And by the way, God's going to get that goal done, with or without whoever opposes him, whoever agrees with him. He's going to get it done. But I want to be on his side, don't you? I want to be standing with him. I want to be walking with him. I want to be talking with him. I want to be in agreement and obedience to him and whatever he says. Okay, Lord, in the name of Jesus, it will be done. So now one other thing about this whole debacle. If this had been reversed, if it had been a white guy who stabbed a black woman in the back, we would have been hearing about it from now until Jesus comes. But instead, because it is a black man attacking a white woman, it took 3 weeks for us to even find out about it. It happened on August 22nd, the day you see and hear this will be approximately August the 9th. I mean, what? Oh, what is that? From the 22nd to the 31st, that's 9 days, 9 days. That, folks, that's almost 3 weeks. That's almost 3 weeks. But you and I both know if it had been a white person attacking a black person, it would have been front page news everywhere, to prove once again how racist the people are in North Carolina and all that. We've got to deracialize this country or it's going to destroy us. We're going to be torn apart from within. And if you'd like to contribute to that, you can go to our website. You'll see when you drop down, there's a slot there for deracializing America. You can give there and we will dedicate those funds to the activities that we're doing, trying to help people understand American history, American politics, American society, you know, that it is not racial. It was not designed to be. It is not racist. It was not designed to be. That in fact, what we are citizens of a constitutional republic. Citizens of a constitutional republic, and we should be unified in that across all racial and cultural lines. And by the way, I'm sure you know this. Our enemies don't care about the color of your skin. Our enemies don't care what you look like. They care that you're American, and because you're an American, they want to kill you. So, folks, you know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up. Well, you know what? Just before I get to that, let me add one more thing, folks. One more thing. Constitution Day is going to be a big day. Only 15% of the American people know when the Constitution was ratified. I'm asking you to go to our Facebook page, go to our website, standamerica.us, thecall.org, the Facebook page, E.W. Jackson for America. Go there and share that link with your friends on that day so that they can see and hear and know what you see and hear and know. Because I'm convinced a lot of this stuff is happening out of pure ignorance. People just don't know. And they need to know. They need to know the truth about American nobility. They need to know the truth about American liberty. And they need to know the truth about where rights and freedom and liberty come from. That they come from Almighty God. And no little pinhead principle somewhere is going to convince us otherwise. And nor is any United States senator anywhere going to convince us otherwise. God has already spoken, and that's that. There's nothing more to be said about the subject as far as I am concerned. God says it. I believe it. That settles it, at least for me. And people can go out there and be outliers and say, well, it doesn't settle it for me, and I don't believe it. Well, okay. Die and go on to hell if you want to, but I urge you not to. I urge you to stay and learn what it's like to live with Jesus. Because I tell you what, as old song says, He's sweet, I know. Storm clouds may rise, strong winds may blow, but I'll tell the world wherever I go that I've found a Savior. And He's sweet, I know. Well, God bless each and every one of you. And I'm going to be with you as much as I can this week, even though right now I'm in Colorado for activities out there with Truth and Liberty. But I want to just encourage you, as always, folks, we got to stay in this fight, because this is not over with the end of Donald Trump's presidency. And I'm asking for your help to stay in the fight, because we can't do this without resources. Again, it's standamerica.us, standamerica.us, that's the website. You can also call us if you're not comfortable with the website. You can call us at 757-375-6444. That's 757-375-6444. But if you want to give, or you want general information, call that number. But if you just want to volunteer, and maybe you even signed up already, but we didn't see it, or you haven't been responded to, then please call us at 757-439-1458. 757-439-1458. Call us and say, Bishop Jackson, I'd like to be an ambassador for STAND. I'd like to be to start a STAND chapter. Whatever. We'll be glad to receive it, glad to receive you, and glad to have you as part of the STAND family. So that really is it, folks. God bless each and every one of you. Don't let anybody cow you into not speaking the truth because they want to label you a racist, this, that, and the other. They're the racists. These leftists are the racists. So in the meantime, stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.